Hello, and welcome to All in the Past, Unique Topics in Genealogy and History. I'm Michael Thomas, your host. I've been a genealogist over 3 decades, and have documented more than 26,000 ancestors and cousins in my personal database. I'm the U.S. genealogist for Clan Murray, a well-known Scottish clan, specializing in Scottish history and all things related to Scottish and Irish clans, with a little bit of Viking history thrown in. I frequently contribute to the clan's newsletter and will include much of what I've written about in these programs, as well as what others have written. 2 websites that will give you more information as we go along are allinthepast.net and itsallinthepast.net. These programs can be found on the blog page of allinthepast.net. You will find out more about me as the podcast progresses, but you can always contact me at allinthepastcast@gmail.com. Let's get started. The topic of this program is From the AT on, Summer 2021, Michael Thomas, F.S.A. Scott, U.S. Genealogist, The Basics of Genealogy and DNA Research, Part 1. Is it worth the time and expense to get a DNA test? You finally broke down and purchased a DNA kit. You waited long enough to get a good price for it, and then you waited patiently for the results. You finally got the results and then, you found all sorts of new cousins and other relatives. Or did you? First, know that most DNA tests, regardless of price, will get the same basic information about your heritage, primarily percentages of ethnicity. For example, I had 2 different tests and, strangely enough, they yielded similar results. But they told me I was about 60% English/Scottish/Irish, 30% German, and 10% Scandinavian. Fine, but what can you do with that? The percentages are what most people are concerned with. When someone asks, you may say, for example, I'm 40% Irish, 20% French, 35% German, and 5% everything else. How valid are they really, though? In my percentages, I sometimes question the validity of the 30% German my tests say I have. My paternal grandparents are both German and my maternal grandfather is German, so why am I not showing something like 75% German? How does my maternal grandmother? With her long line back to the Puritan Great Migration and even further back to the UK, Europe, Scandinavia, and Russia give me about twice the German percentage? I'll explain a bit of the science of DNA in a moment, but, in my case, the Germans all tended to live in cities and towns, and most of them didn't have large families like those who lived on farms were prone to have. Numerically, my German ancestors are hopelessly outnumbered by my non-German ancestors, yielding a much larger pool from which to collect and share DNA. I have to mention here that all DNA testing companies are constantly updating the DNA pools they are working with, so you can expect periodic and even more specific updates to your percentages. If your percentages only change a few points over time, the test is probably pretty accurate. If you experience a wild, unexplainable change, it might be good to try another test from a different company for comparison. If money is no object, take the test again from the same company and see what the new results show. You probably also got a list or relatives, cousins or otherwise, with similar DNA results. The list may have even included people up to the 5th or 6th generation. Not bad, right? But think how many people are 5 generations away from you, 2 parents, 4 grandparents, 8 great-grandparents, 1G, 16 great-great-grandparents, 2G, and, finally, 32 great-great-greats, 3G. Mathematically, that's 2 plus 4 plus 8 plus 16 plus 32 or 62 ancestors just in your direct line 5 generations back. How many were in your list again, and how can they help you with your genealogical research? The 62 ancestors from before isn't really the correct number for you to work with. You aren't taking into account all the brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, and others who make up the DNA pool for each of the 62 ancestors you're seeking 5 generations back. Now you're into the hundreds of thousands. But, as the family genealogist, work with the names the DNA tester sends you to get a start. Don't get too frustrated, though, with the list you get from your test results. Many of the people on the list only took the same test you took. They are not actively researching their lineage as you are, and have nothing to share, so they aren't really of any value to your research. Others may be researching their lines but, for some reason cannot or do not want to share information. Maybe everything they have is on paper, like it used to be before the age of computers revolutionized the industry. Some may use a computer, but they don't keep an online family tree or a database they might be able to share. Are you beginning to wonder what value DNA really is? I could write a book about DNA and how much value it's been to me personally in my research, but I'll leave that for a later time. What you can do now is register your DNA online and wait for the update lists to come to you with even more people you are related to. Or not. Fall back on the tried and true methods of research. Get a blank family tree form and begin with your parents and others close to your family. Get all the names, dates, and other details, stories, photos, etc. you can. Create a file folder for each surname and put all you know about them in the folder. If you want more detail, create a folder for each family, or even each individual. Before you get to 62 ancestors, get your information online or into a database with computer software. A GetCom is a file you can create with software and share with others. It's like gold in genealogy. The Basics of Genealogy and DNA Research, Part 2. The Science of DNA. You are 23 pairs of chromosomes. That's all you really need to know. Just kidding, there's far more to learn. Let's continue. DNA is found in the nucleus of every cell in your body. 22 pairs of chromosomes contain autosomal DNA and define who you are. Autosomal DNA determines all of your inherited characteristics. The 23rd pair of chromosomes determine your sex, XY for males, XX for females. Another type of DNA, mitochondrial DNA, regulates your body's cells and metabolism. It is found in the mitochondria in the cytoplasm of the cell. You'll need a dictionary from this point on. You need to understand that 50% of your DNA comes from each of your parents, 25% from your grandparents, 12.5% from your great-grandparents, 6.25% from your great-greats, and so on. By the time you reach that fifth generation we talked about in part 1, we're talking about a small enough percentage of inherited DNA that it's difficult to accurately prove a match without all the other information collection methods at your fingertips. Back to the DNA from your parents, the 50% of DNA you receive is actually broken into segments that are recombined in your cells to make you unique. Unless you are an identical twin, recombination is what separates you from your brother or sister in the DNA transfer. Genealogists use one of three types of DNA tests, autosomal, Y, and mitochondrial. All the popular testing companies, Ancestry, FamilyTree DNA, MyHeritage, and 23andMe, test for autosomal DNA, but only FamilyTree DNA will test for the other types. Autosomal DNA testing. Autosomal testing looks at small pieces of DNA called single nucleated polymorphisms, SNP. They are taken from all 22 chromosome pairs and your X chromosome, but only represent a small fraction of your DNA. Testing companies have determined approximately 700,000 locations that will give the most relevant genealogy information. If the entire genome is tested, over 3 billion locations will be checked. For this reason, health information is the usual reason to check everything, making it useless as a DNA test. When you first received your DNA test, you probably had to provide a saliva sample. In theory, this is like swabbing the inside of the cheek like you see done on TV. Your DNA is tested against all the other samples the testing company has collected, yielding your ethnicity percentages and that list of close matches you received. The results are only predictions, but they tell you how many centimorgans, check that dictionary again, of DNA you share. They cannot tell you which ancestor you match, but can supplement your other research to determine who it may be. Autosomal testing, however, does have limitations. The random means of DNA collection, and the ever-decreasing percentages of DNA you inherit from past generations, most companies stop at the fifth generation in identifying relationships. This would be about a third cousin who shares at least one set of great-grandparents. At the sixth generation, a fourth cousin wouldn't likely inherit the same DNA. Autosomal testing is best used to find new cousins or verify relationships with a cousin who has been tested. Such a match can oftentimes help identify mutual ancestors, hopefully one or more of which has also done some genealogical research. The ethnicity percentages you receive are purely estimates, and have been calculated by comparing your DNA to a reference population. If you can't be matched to a specific population, you're put in a larger group and you may have to wait for the coming updates to narrow it down further. Ethnicity you might expect in your test may not show up because the size of the population was too small, but may also appear over time and further testing by the company. One caution with autosomal testing, the test may provide surprise results, either positive or negative. You may find a close relative you didn't know you had and isn't covered in your research, but you might also identify previously unknown parents, not always a good thing. The Basics of Genealogy and DNA Research, Part 3. Why DNA testing? Why DNA is found in males, the Y chromosome is not found in females. It follows the paternal descent from your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and so on. A woman who wants to test her paternal line must use samples from a father, brother, or other male in the line. The value of Y-DNA is that it is passed down through the generations with few changes or mutations over hundreds, or even thousands, of years. The closeness of a DNA match is determined by comparing the samples for mutations, or lack of mutations. Y-chromosome tests are based on short tandem repeat STR segments, or markers. The larger the number of markers, the genetic distance, found between two samples, the closer the genealogical match, the fewer the number, the farther away the match is. Entry-level Y-DNA tests looks at 37 markers. A 111-marker test looks at even more, but also at much higher price. As with the autosomal test that yields better and more accurate results after the sample has been updated several times, the Y-DNA test with more markers will also show far more accuracy and differentiation. Y-DNA testing is best when researching your paternal ancestry and tracing a surname's history. One name studies will benefit from such a test, as will finding a paternal haplogroup. You still need your dictionary, or studying migration patterns or geographic origins. Mitochondrial DNA testing. Both men and women have mitochondrial DNA mtDNA from your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, and so on, just as the Y-DNA does for your paternal line. However, a father does not pass mtDNA to his children. mtDNA is also passed down through the generations with few mutations. It cannot be used to measure genetic distance between matches because of its stability, although all regions are usually tested. Locating two people who share the same maternal ancestor is the test's true value, and can support or disprove your traditional research. Migration routes and historical origins are other benefits of the test. Summary. To summarize, DNA has its values, but also its drawbacks. It is simply another tool of the genealogist to use in their research. It must be proven accurate before it is used, just as any online record, paper document, family story, or the like can be used. It cannot be used to determine a precise relationship between two prospective matches. Not submitting a DNA sample for testing simply because you are afraid it will be used for some other purpose, such as law enforcement seeking a criminal or identifying a victim of a crime, is a hollow excuse. Not submitting a sample because you are afraid of the results it will yield, and problems that may arise within the family, such as identifying an illegitimacy, is also a poor excuse not to get a test. If you aren't researching your genealogy and trying to build your own family tree, you don't need to take a test. If you have results, but no way to share them with someone else, you don't need a test. On the other hand, the upside of testing and sharing your DNA is immeasurable. Anytime you add information to the history of humanity, you are doing a good thing. Misuse is rare, but the ability to help other people enhance their family history is worth the gamble.